good at doing it. We are good at doing it at the end of every meeting, but I want us to actually use that to go into a consideration of the Word of God. And I'm going to share with you what I know. So I can only share what I know. And I pray that by the Holy Spirit, who himself is our teacher and the one who brings to our mind everything that the Lord has commanded us, and pray that by his illumination, by his divine inworking, you will be brought to the place where you please God, where we all please God, where the Lord sees of the travail of his soul and he's satisfied. I don't want any of you to be anxious. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, people usually get anxious for no reason because they're thinking, ah, do I have enough of the Holy Spirit? Am I spiritual enough? No, that's not it. It is the gift of our Father to us out of his generosity. So if you just by faith, by trusting, leaning on God who never fails, who is not a human being to change his mind, if you just lean on the fact that the Lord can make good his promise, you'll be okay. So can we do that? I'm going to call on Grandma Ned to actually first, just take us again through some parts of the Word of God to remind us of the presence of our God in our lives. The aid of the Holy Spirit at difficult times like this. You've all gone through a period of mourning, of loss, of hardship, and sometimes of questioning. It is good to hear the words of our shepherd. So if Grandma Ned is there and can read, please, let's all turn to John chapter 14. And Grandma Ned is going to read from verse 15 all the way to verse 31. But I just want you to listen to it. And Brother Kule, if you could let me share, I'll just put that on the screen.
Right. Well, I thought we were doing grace prayer, praying.
Yes. Let's do the grace. Thank you. Thank you. Let's do the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
Right.
the love of God, and the fellowship of
Okay.
the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me. So, Grandma Ned, please, let's go to John chapter 14, from verse 15 to verse 31.
John 14:15. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me since I live. You also will live. When I am raised to life, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. 25. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know I love the Father. Come, let's be going.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he suffered and became the sacrificial lamb, before he was buried and then eventually declared by God to be the Son of God through the powerful resurrection, he could see that his disciples were very discouraged. Because here are these great things that he's asking them to do, and he's not going to be with them. They are going to witness a very, very concerted effort to brutalize, humiliate, and crucify the Son of God. And they themselves are going to lose courage, deny him, and flee. So the Lord starts talking to them. And if you paid attention to the tenor of that passage, and thank you, Grandma Ned, for the way you read that, you can see that the Lord is eager to prepare them, to assure them and anchor their hearts that there is victory ahead. I'm not leaving you alone. You will not be in this alone. So I just want to use that to encourage all of you as a body. You are experiencing what many other people in the body of Christ worldwide are experiencing, a difficult time in our world. But we have overcome. We have peace that the world cannot give. So let's not forget who we are. It is not what is to come, it's what we already have. This morning, and then in the next 2 weeks, I want to concentrate by God's grace and his power working within us on the gift of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ. And then we would deal with things like prophecy, speaking in an unknown language, the interpretation of a speech made in a language you did not previously learn, otherwise popularly, addictively called speaking in tongues. We will deal with that. Next week, I do hope After some time of considering the scriptures, we actually have some breakout sessions so we can talk to one another in a very honest and humble manner. Because there are two areas where a lot has been done by the enemy of the kingdom of God to sow confusion and division. One is the person and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Congregations have been divided over this issue that is supposed to comfort and unite us. The next one is the coming of the Lord, is the return of the Lord. These doctrines, these teachings are supposed to give us hope. But because of the work of the enemy in the minds of unstable believers and unscrupulous teachers, they have been weaponized to defeat our faith. But that will not succeed. Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So brothers and sisters, let's look at this blessed doctrine again of the Holy Spirit and of the gift he bestows on members of the body of Christ as he desires for the work of building the body and representing Christ on earth. All right? So what I would like to do, I'm going to ask our brother Babs. Brother Bab, if you could please go, I wanted to go to Romans chapter 12. Let's all go to the book of Romans chapter 12. We're going to read Romans 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to just quickly front load our spirit with these scriptures, and then let's come to point by point consideration. So if you would all come with me, let's go to the book of Romans. Chapter 12, and I'm going to ask our brother Babs to read the very first few verses, and starting from verse 1, so that we can get the context in which this chapter is being put. So all I need you to actually do is read the first 8 verses. So if brother Babs will go to Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 through 8.
Absolutely. Good morning. Romans 12 from 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. 4, for as many have many members in one body, and all members have not this same office. 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or, that's seven, ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or, he that teaches or teacheth on teaching, eight, or he that exalted or exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Nine, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
That's enough. That's enough. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, and I'm going to call on Brother Peter there you did to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Peter.
Mm-hmm. Hello, church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you are led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
Thank you. Thank you. And our sister Folake Adeniyi, could you read for us? Let us all turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read the first 16 verses. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16. And Sister Folake, please, when you're ready, read for us.
Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as God apportioned it. This is what it says. When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He also sorry, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Thank you very much. If you were paying attention to these passages we just read, you would not have missed the concept of the body, of one body. You would not have missed that concept. Many of the times that people come to God and ask God for a spiritual gift, not faith alone or lack of faith, it is the inability to discern the body of Christ. They don't know what they're asking for and how God has put everything together. So it is very important that, brothers and sisters, we understand how God sees the body of his Son. If you don't operate within this understanding, don't ask for any gift. Let me take us back to Romans chapter 12. Everybody, take your Bible, flip back to Romans chapter 12. Let's talk about the concept of the one body, because it is within this one body that gifts are given to different members as the Spirit desires for a one body ministry. Brethren in Maryland, you are part of the body of Christ. You are not just the body of Christ alone. You are part of the body of Christ, with all those Jews and Gentiles, male and female, young and old, who believe in the Lord. That is the spiritual body. If you think that way, you will understand your place and you will be able to function in whatever gift it pleases God to apportion to you. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. So if we are there, pay attention to the way the Apostle Paul brings this concept together. First, in verse 3, he says this: "For by the grace given me, by the enabling that only comes from the Spirit of God that is given to me, I'm saying to every one of you." How many of us? Every one of us. Every one of you. From Bookie to Grandma Ned, to, you know, Grandma Lubumi, every one of us. He's saying, "I am saying, by the grace of God given to me, to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith God has given you." All right, now come to verse 4. "Just as each of us has one body with many members," we all know that. A body with eyes, with nose, with ears, with the fingers, with the legs, with all of the internal and external organs, but it's still one body. Brother Bob's hand, Brother Bob's legs, they are part of him. It says, "Just as each of us, we have one body with many members, and not all members have the same function." So, in Christ, what are there? I want you all to read it together, verse 5. Everybody, unmute yourself and read verse 5. Let's go. One, two, go. Verse 5.
We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other.
Okay. Even through that sounding like the Tower of Babel, I can still get the fact that so in Christ, we who are many are one body. See the next phrase. Each member belongs to another. We are united. Each member belongs. The hand is linked to the shoulder and then to the rest of the body. There is a unity. There is something that holds everything together. That is why when you go to the eye doctor, the leg doesn't say, okay, see you eye. When you come back, we'll all connect. You will drag everyone to go see the eye doctor. The leg will be there. The head will be there. Your hair will be there. Your nails will be there. Everything will carry themselves to go see the eye doctor on account of the eye. They belong to one another. Then he says this. So it's within that context that he now begins to talk of the gifts. So in Christ, we who are many are one body, and each one belongs to another. Your gift belongs to me. My gift belongs to you, because we are members of the same body. Okay, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. We have different gifts according to the enabling that is given to us. Sister Bonnelly has a gift according to the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Nothing to do with what you were born with. We, every one of us, we have a gift according to the working of God. So, it begins by this. If one's gift is prophecy, what should that person do? Use it according to the proportion of your faith, of your trusting and leaning on God. If it is ministry, this is where sometimes people get it wrong. It is not to serve birthday cakes when we have fellowship. That's not what the meaning of service. It is the word from which we get deacons, it's diaconies. It means those who minister. It's not the people who clean the church after we are done. So you see how next it is to prophecy? If it is to serve, if it is to be a deacon or a deaconess, to minister, you should serve. You should so minister. If it is to teach, what do? You should teach. If it is to encourage others, you should do so. So which means there is a gift that allows you to encourage, to lift up those who are down in the dumps and need a renewal of hope and faith, so that with courage and faithfulness, they can serve God. They exist within you right there in Maryland. There are people in your midst who have gift to encourage. Those people may despise that gift and say, it doesn't bring me to the limelight. And that's a mistake. In all the ministries that people have and they're on television, how many of them do you ever say, our ministry is minister of encouragement? Because they are not the type that people, they are not celebrity affiliated. If it's teaching and working miracles, of course. But look at how the Holy Spirit sees it. So if our sister Folake's gift is encouragement, the Bible says you should encourage. You should do that. Whoever shares, if it is given, let him give generously. So it means that within our group, within the body of Christ, there are people who have a gift that is beyond the normal kindness we all display. I was discussing this with Brother Debo. We're talking about spiritual gifts, and we were discussing this part. These are not things that are fashionable in our conversations, but these are things you need for a fellowship to function. If it is to give, it's a give generously. Whoever has, there's another gift. If it is leading, it's called administration. Lead with diligence. It doesn't mean being a pastor. That's not the pastor. So do you see how the Apostle Paul is dealing with the gift that the Holy Spirit imparts to the body of Christ for body ministry? Let me give you an example of to lead. You remember James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did not believe until after Pentecost or thereabout. When there was a problem as to what to do with the Gentiles who had believed, he was the one who stood up after everybody's presented their case, including Peter. It was our brother James who stood up to conclude it and give the position of the church. That is an administrator. It's not the one who does the spreadsheet. Let me just be clear now. It's not the one who signs the check. It could be, but that's not the price. It means governance. You remember Joseph in the Bible? You know, Joseph had the gift of governance, but he also had the gift of the Holy Spirit and wisdom and ability to interpret dreams. And when they needed somebody to coordinate the grains and prepare for the time of the 7-year famine, Pharaoh said, "Who else can we appoint to this but you?" He became like the prime minister. So he has the gift to administer. Some of you have it in Maryland, but you will not do it because you say, "Brother, after all, Brother Bumi is the pastor, Brother Wiley is the pastor, these people are the pastor. That's not my gift." No, it is your gift. And then the question is, will the body make that gift able to operate? Would you configure will you do your fellowship in such a way that all of these gifts we are talking about, you can all exercise them? If it is such that your fellowship is designed not to be able to let people flourish in their gift, then you need to reconfigure. You need to go to God in prayer and say, "How should we run our fellowship? How come that we do not have the gift of Sister Jackie, the gift of many other people being manifest in our body ministry?" So if that is the case, you need to change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is this making sense? It is very important. I have had to stay so that I can understand how does the Holy Spirit give the gift? If you do not understand the body, if you do not understand how God sees his community, you cannot function. You can't serve the church. So, brothers and sisters, I hope you are able to serve the church. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right? Let's go. You are going to see the same theme said in different ways. So, you can always cheat by saying Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, right? All talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ. 12:12, right? Okay. All right. We've already read this. So, this time, I just want to emphasize some verses. And if you have a question, put it in the chat. Both Buki and Kemi, they will let me know. So if you have a question while I'm talking, please put it in the chat. And it doesn't throw me off. I'm encouraging you to be able to put a question there. All right? Okay. So I'm going to call on, where is Josh Ademiju? Is he there with you? Okay. If Josh is there, is Josh able to read?
That's not here.
Who is there? Is Tamin there? Is Tamin, who is there in your house?
It's just me right now.
And this is who is talking now, Tamin?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to ask you to read just a few verses. So you are going to read verses 4,
okay,
5, 6, just those ones for now.
1 Corinthians chapter
12, verses 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And they are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all.
Good, thank you. So let's pay attention to that. Say there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many gifts, but it comes from the same source. And that source is the Holy Spirit, who the Lord Jesus Christ said, I will not leave you alone. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will ask the Father that he gives you another helper or another standby or advocate. This helper brings along different gifts, but is the same coordinator. So let's say the Holy Spirit as the overseer. Actually, that term is used in Acts chapter 20. As the overseer and as the coordinator, as the minister in charge of spiritual gifts. It is not mine, Brother Bumis, Brother Wale, or anybody's to give. It is by the Spirit of God. Verse 5, there are different areas of service. You can substitute service for ministry, but it's the same master. There are different ways of working, but the same God works all things in all people. To have confidence, you and I, let's come to this understanding and stay in it. It is the Holy Spirit who decides what to give, how to give, and helps you to use the gift for the building of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit decides what he wants our brother Peter to do within the church. It is not left to Brother Peter. Brother Peter could desire whatever he wants to desire. You can have a desire, there's no problem with it, but you will leave it to the master. You will leave it to the coordinator. And there's nothing wrong with desiring any spiritual gift. Yes, you should desire that. We're going to read that in a short while. But every one of us, the Holy Spirit is the one coordinating. He knows what gift you have been. The one who has the spreadsheet is the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important. Because one day, whether your fellowship allows you to exercise the gift or not, you are going to give an account. Brothers and sisters, one day you are going to give an account of your stewardship. And if you stand there and say, you know that Brother Bumia, he did not allow me to use my gift, it won't hold. Sister Kike can say, my husband wouldn't let me use the spiritual gift. I'm not saying Brother Peter is in any way standing in her. I'm just using them as an example. Sister Ronki can say, oh no, you know, I didn't even know I had a gift. That will not work. Mommy Olubunmi can't say, oh no, I'm a grandmother now, that's why I didn't use my gift. God will not accept it. It won't work. It will not hold on the day when we stand before the Lord. So I want all of us to be very, very careful and pay attention, asking the Lord, what have you given me to contribute to the building of the body? Am I using it faithfully today, tomorrow? How can I grow in it? Go back to the coordinator, the one who gives. All right? Okay. So, in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about the different ministries and areas of service differently than he was doing in Romans chapter 12. So, in verse 7, where is Deshola? Is Deshola there? Deshola Adeleke?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read from 7 all the way to 11.
You said 1 Corinthians 7.
Chapter 12.
Oh, sorry.
From verse 7, yeah.
A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of the special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in other language and unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Sister Biola, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Sorry.
Okay. Sister Biola, count the various service gift that we from that. Just give it to us. So just help us list as many as you can see from this 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Teaching, mm-hmm. Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No problem. Take your time. Everyone will be counting with you. You have to be easy. You'll use all your fingers. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm just moving my radic out of the way. Healing.
Mm-hmm. What number is that? Sorry, the rest of us, we are counting. How many? Well, let's start from the beginning one more time.
Okay. The word of wisdom. This time from 8. The word of knowledge. Faith, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, the discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues.
All right. Sister Bolanle, how many are there all together so far?
Eight.
Nine.
Yes.
You have to make up your mind. How many?
The 8.
Brother Peter, you counted 9, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what I counted as well. Did anybody count 10? Brother Bumi, did you count 10? You didn't spray Benadryl on everybody, right? Because
I counted 9.
Uh-huh, okay. All right, good. So the Apostle Paul again gives a list. But if you pay attention, the emphasis is on service. These are gifts that are inward, they are not showy. These are not gifts that... These are gifts that have to be operated within humility. If you see the way they are listed, utterance of wisdom, utterance of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, gifts, not one, gifts of healing, different types of healing, working of miracles. Faith, we talked about, prophecy, discernment, ability to speak in different languages, and ability to interpret different unlearned language. Brothers and sisters, let's help one another. In the old King James Bible, at the time they spoke that form of English, a tongue refers to a language. So Yoruba is a tongue. It's also a group of people, but it's also a tongue. I know people have become so welded to it that you can translate that into modern terms. It means a lingo. That's what it is. Speaking in an unlearned language. I know most of us, if we don't say speaking in tongues, it doesn't sound spiritual. But remember that God is not an Englishman. The Bible wasn't originally written in English. So in our own language, Uro, in my place, that's what a language is. Uro nebo weze, what language are you speaking? Next week, we will talk about the gift of speaking in tongues. But today, let's just list a gift here. It is the ability to speak in language you have not previously learned. Then there's another person who can interpret it so that in our churches, we don't sound like criminals planning something that we don't want somebody to know. You will see that in 1 Corinthians 14. We're not going there today. Femiyo asked a question in the chat. He says, so I wanted to ask, how would you know what gift you have? That's a good question. We will come to that. How would you know what gift you have? Can I answer that very quickly? Let's go to Acts of the Apostles. So Femiyo, go to Acts of the Apostles. You're going to read for us. Acts of the Apostles was a church in Antioch, and something happened there. So let's go to the church in Antioch in Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, and let's read. So Femiyo, could you please read the first three verses?
So Acts 13.
1-3. Go on. Yep.
Acts 13:1-3. Now there were in church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mynenian, a long life friend of Herod and the church, the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and set them off.
Good. So this is what happened. At this fellowship in a city called Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Look at the people they are naming, Barnabas. Simeon, also called the black man. That's the meaning of that word. It's an African. Simeon, the African. That's the word they mean. Lucius of Cyrene. Manian, who also was brought up in the household of Herod and Saul. These are prophets and teachers. So while they were worshiping the Lord, and fasting, just as you have done recently, right? In one of your meetings, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Paul or Shaul for the work to which I have called them. Are you hearing that? The Holy Spirit is saying, set them, let them go do the work I have already told them. Ah, so when was the Apostle Paul told what work he will do? So if you go back to chapter 9, we're not going to go there now, but I'm going to give you some homework. So go and read about the conversion of Paul. And follow it up with the conversation Ananias had with him. In those, God showed Paul, also called Shaul. The Holy Spirit did not change his name. Most Jewish people at that time had a Hebrew name and a Roman name. So Paul after conversion, Saul after conversion did not become Paul. He's the same person. Most people say Paul was converted. No, he's the same person. Just like, you know, Brother Peter, maybe Brother Peter Simon Bejide. I don't know what's your other, Brother Peter, I don't know what's your middle name. But anyway, so that's how it is. It's Shaul Paul with his whatever last name. Anyway, in his conversion, Jesus said, Paul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me? He said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus Christ. And he said, get up, go to a place, and you'll be told what to do. Then God raised up another of his followers who went to Paul and said, Brother Paul, be baptized so that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But God had revealed to Ananias that he is my chosen instrument to carry the gospel to the Gentiles and kings and Israel. So Paul knew his job. God had revealed it to him. How will Femio know what his gift is? As you get to understand the body of Christ, the fellowship, you will either be told inwardly and you by the Holy Spirit, and you will also hear other people saying, this brother has this gift. It was somebody who told me, you can teach. I did not know. And it will be confirmed. So what these brothers did was to put their hands together and lay their hands on him and say, go ahead and do what God wants you to do. So it's a calling. You will not mistake when God has something for you to do. So don't worry about it. Do not be worried at all. Now that you are concerned about it, it's very likely that the Lord is about to reveal to you, Femio, what it is that he wants you to do, even at your age. And remember that whenever God reveals a gift with you, it doesn't mean you're going to start up a ministry. No, it means what you do within where you are. This concept of going to start a ministry is new. It wasn't in the first century Christianity. Paul did not go start a ministry of his own. It was done within the body of Christ. So Brother Babs cannot, if he has the gift of healing and everything, he can go set up Babs ministries and everybody will flock into it. It will be done within the body of Christ. The ones that we are doing now, it's nothing but limited liability companies. And if you follow the money, you will see the reason behind most of them. The reason Joyce Meyer is not likely to submit her gift within, I'm just using her name, please don't criticize her, why she would not submit it within a local body, it will remove the autonomy to direct the money. The reason Kenneth Copeland, if he's actually a minister of the gospel, if he is, will not submit to a local or a body ministry is because of the money most of the time. That's not how it works. The Apostle Paul was not separated from Peter and the rest. He actually had to go to them to see if he was doing the will of God. And they gave him the right hand of fellowship. Peter didn't go and set up a fisherman's club of a holy fisherman's club. No, he was within the body of Christ. So Sister Buki cannot go and set up all-powerful sisters ministry, incorporated. It has to be within the body of Christ. Sister Jackie can't start, you know, whether it's Rolonia's, you know, spirit-filled women's ministry. It doesn't work that way. Or like not like that. You can't have sons and daughters of Oduduwa filled with the Holy Spirit ministry. There is no such thing. It is the body of Christ. I know it's a long answer, but Femiyo, if that helps you, I would like to follow up later on to be sure that you got this well, you know, understood. We can follow up with that. But usually you will know your gift based on what the Holy Spirit starts to allow you to do in the body within the church. You will not know your gift without a fellowship group. You will only know it when you are together. It is very likely that as you are fellowshipping, that God will say, let Brother Wale go do the thing I've already commissioned him to. And you will all have to give him the right hand of fellowship. After praying and fasting, they lay their hand. The laying of the hand is a confirmation that they agree with God. They were not the ones giving those people the gift at the time. Does this make sense to all of you? Does it make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
AJ.
Yes, please.
When you said you cannot set up this ministry, cannot set up that way, maybe you would clarify that sometimes those ministries can be set up even under the body of Christ and within the body of Christ.
Yes, yes. So an area of service for which God makes you fruitful and from which, like, we have missionaries, we have people who set out to hold the rest of the world, for people to use their gift to do what God's kingdom wants them to do, within a body that oversee it, they can function like that. What I am referring to, which is very prevalent in our time, is these ministries that stand alone and they are like corporations. Most of the time, the owner will hand it over to his son, and the control is like in the world. You can be a teacher, but your teaching will exist within the body of Christ to be overseen by the body of Christ. That's what we mean. A healing ministry cannot start its own and be a standalone. It has to be connected with the body of Christ. I hope you all understand. It doesn't mean you cannot function in your ministry, and as God enlarges it, you cannot respond to those enlargement, but it will always be under the supervision and control, you know, of the body that sent you. And let me talk about the danger that people like us are in. Because of the way the American church structure is, because of all the history of the things we have, because of the lack of genuine fellowship, most of us have found that we have to react to the dysfunction around us. This is what I mean. Pei and I have sought over the years to walk within the fellowship of believers in any town we've been in. What we found was that those fellowship, the brethren did not have the mind we have. Not all of them. It was difficult for them to incorporate not just us, but other people with the various gift God has given them for the body to work. They would not understand why God would bring three or four pastors into one congregation, because in their mind, they think a pastor is one person, the CEO of a congregation, and therefore no other person. It means the one who preaches all the time. It means the one who is always in the front. They don't understand the body ministry the way we are describing it. And as a result, having tried and tried and tried, in order for us to be able to use our gift, we have to eventually come to this place where we came to, after a lot of deliberation, you know, to have this cornerstone ministry. But we did it consulting with, you know, those of you in Maryland and trying to make sure that we are connected to people who understand our goals and with whom we have a kindred of spirit. So that is why we are connected with you. And that's why we're connected with other people who think like this. And this is why I would like to encourage New Covenant Church in Hyattsville, Maryland, to think more of the body. And I think you are doing it in many ways, but continue to do it. Does that help? Does that give more clarity?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I want to conclude. There's a lot, of course, to discuss. But why this is important at this time is because there are many false spirits scattered all over the world, teaching demonic doctrines and pestering the body of Christ. You remember the parable Jesus gave? He said the kingdom of God is like a man planted good seed. But at night, the enemy planted evil seeds. So when they woke up, the servant said, "Hey, master, look, didn't you plant only good seeds? How come we are seeing tares in the midst of the wheat?" "Ah," the Lord said, "an enemy has done this." And they said, "Should we go and cut them away?" He said, No. "So that while you are doing it, you don't mistakenly cut also the good, the wheat, and the good stock. Leave them. Let them grow. At harvest time, what they are made of will be revealed. Then I'm going to ask my servants to first gather the wheat into the barn, and then the rest of the bad stuff we're going to burn with unquenchable fire." And that's what's going on right now. The abuse of ministry. The abuse of ministry. The abuse of prophetic words. The way that a musician, somebody who has the gift of singing, will suddenly launch into their own ministry. All of these things have helped to confuse us. And I do hope that if you heard nothing today, you will understand the meaning of the body ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, where I want to end with, this is what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, which we read. And I know many of you have questions. That is the goal. You know, I'm always happy when people have questions. So, Sister Duper, yes, I will be very happy to talk with you. So I want to read again Ephesians chapter 4. Most of these lessons, one has had to learn with a lot of pain. But I think I can spare us. We should spare one another of further pain if we just try and understand the meaning of the body and why our ministries or our areas of service must be evaluated within the body. Within the body of Christ. When we say ministry, we mean service. Diaconies. It is serving, providing what is needed for the body to grow. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We already read it, but just let me conclude with this. In chapter 4, verse 1, listen to the plea the apostle makes. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you." Are you seeing it in your word, in the Bible? This is in New King James Version. "I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." What is that calling? "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making what? Every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There is one body and one Spirit. We read that before. Can it be clearer? There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Could it be clearer than that? Then they say, but each one, so within this one body, each one of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. So in verse 11, he says, the gifts he gave are these: whether some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors or shepherds and teachers. Is here? What is the goal? To equip the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ. So that what will happen? Until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. That it is. That commitment to the body of Christ. All of us are baptized with one Spirit, one baptism into one faith, and there's only one Lord. If anything, what has troubled us the most is those who are methodical, they are called the Methodists, and those who like to jump into river, they are called the Baptist. Just make it. And so we've called all kinds of names. All kinds of names to distinguish ourselves and a Baptist. The ones we are Holy Spirit movement, as if the other believers are not called to holiness. And then we are I'm surprised that we don't yet have congregations of left-handed people and congregations of right-handed people, or congregations of people who are 6 feet and are below. Don't laugh, because it's not impossible. Understand the goal of God is to unite everything in Christ so that with one voice, with one purpose, we will give glory to God. And the unity of believers, the serving of one another, will let the world know that we belong to Christ. We in Him, He in the Father, that the Father may be glorified. That was the prayer He prayed in John chapter 17. So any gift you have that makes you separate from the rest of the brethren, you might want to go to the Holy Spirit and say, you know what? I don't know. Is this gift from you? The gift that does not pull you back to your brothers and sisters is suspect. Let's end here today. I am open to questions later on. I really want all of us to wrestle with this. I had prepared something differently to preach this morning, but when I woke up, this sense of the unity of the body from which everything is realized became so strong. One body, one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. To this we've been called. Let us pray. Our dear Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you, Lord, you said to the Lord Jesus, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. You said again to him, ask of me, I will give you the heathen for your inheritance, the utmost part of the earth for your inheritance. And your word says, Lord, when you said to Peter, who do men say that I am? And he said, you are the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of the living God. And you said, flesh and blood could not have revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I am telling you, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Lord, we'll believe your word. You will accomplish your purposes. None can thwart your purpose. Our prayer is that we submit to you in humility and in obedience, and in faith, that we may be joined with all of the other members of the body of Christ to exercise any area of service you have deemed it necessary to give us, so that with our brothers and sisters, educated and uneducated, old and young, male or female, we can have you use us, build one another to the work of the ministry, that Christ alone may be glorified. And for his name's sake, we pray. Amen. Thank you.